Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high-pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
We'll look at the tape.
It's Intentional Grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hope.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome back. After a bye week, recharged, ready to go. The Bears are going to finish 9-0. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did. What's up, Adam?
Adam, long time no talk. I've seen you.
Talkie the Bears? Yeah,
I've seen you around.
We've had a couple days at Hallis, but first time we're back after the bye week on the podcast. This is episode 62 of Intentional Grounding. Got to go with Mark Bortz here, the offensive guard from the 85 Bears, and a native of the greatest town in Wisconsin, Partyville.
Partyville,
Wisconsin.
Is that better than Santa Claus, Indiana?
It's up there. I knew somebody from Partyville.
Really? Did he like the party?
Well, I still do.
You have to like the party if you're like from Partyville, right? It's part of life, I imagine. Partying.
You are required to party in Partyville. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here with you on Intentional Grounding at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Follow the podcast at INT Grounding Pod. We have your listener selections up there for the week. Boy, you guys suck at picking games.
It's not easy, Adam.
I know from your record it's not easy.
I'm
no
catching
question.
Up, though, I feel like.
You're still behind me. But I'm below 500 overall.
See? It's not easy.
I think we're tied doing very, very well at college games.
Well, the difficulty, I mean, that's why the house always wins in Vegas, right? It's the spread comes into the... Look, picking them straight up, that's easy. But when the numbers come involved,
yeah,
that's a problem.
No, it's hard. We're dominating the college football. We are not doing well in the NFL. But our listeners, since we started doing this, 4 or 5 weeks ago, are 2-10 against the spread. So time to get back. Those games, we have them listed at INT Grounding Pod on Twitter. You can vote there. We'll give you our selections so far later on in the podcast, but those are up until the games get played on Saturday and Sunday. So still plenty of time to vote on those games. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. And if you don't already subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, do so by going on iTunes and searching Intentional Grounding. We appreciate you also leaving a review and rating the podcast there. All right, let's dive right in. All right, so Bears are back from the bye. I'd say the biggest news is just all the guys back from injury. Marquise Wilson?
No, I think it's... Come on.
Why? Just the fact that he's back from... being on PUP. I mean, well, he's still on PUP, but yeah. The 21-day window is open up. But Kyle Long's back. Josh Sitton's back.
There you go. Now you're getting the names going. Tracy Porter's better. Pernell McPhee's better.
Most of these guys are all still limited, but...
Better.
Sounds like the Bears...
Eddie Let's Royal's put it this better.
Way. On Monday's practice after the bye week, that's the most players I've seen out there on the practice field since maybe the first day of training camp.
Yeah. I mean, you're still missing Kevin White's, your Lamar Houston's, DeAndre Hall's, Kyle Fuller's. There's still some notable players out, but in terms of what they were several weeks ago, this is great. After the bye week, I mean, it did them some good. They had that pretty impressive win over the Vikings. Someone picked that, I think. And, You know, here,
Adam Jones!
That's nice. You got that.
Kyle Long, for those that didn't see that on Twitter, since you, I think you were the only one who picked the Vikings.
I did.
At least that I know of in all of Chicago. Although our listeners were like 51% Vikings, 49%
wow.
Bears. But even they were wrong.
Yeah.
You were wrong. But the Kyle Long, who tends to read and listen to a lot of things we say and write, did note your prediction, and as he was coming back into the locker room after the game, was caught on camera giving you props.
Adam Jones!
You weren't there.
I wasn't there. I guess he was looking for me. A couple reporters said he was looking for me, but I was in the press conference room waiting to talk to John Fox and Jay Cutler, who made his, a good buddy of Kyle Long's, who made his triumphant return and beat the Vikings.
So let's talk about this a little bit. The Bears are healthy. They just beat the Vikings. The Vikings have been exposed a little bit the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
They lost again. They've lost three in a row. In fact, the Packers and the Vikings are 0-5 since the Bears last lost a football game, which is part of the reason why I think Eddie Royal said this the other day.
I mean, you look around, we got so many good players. It's like, why not win out? You got to win the first one, but we believe in each other so much that we know that we could turn this thing around.
Why not win out? Okay, I think that's a good attitude to have coming off the bye.
Absolutely.
I think you would agree with me that this week there's a different vibe at Hal's Hall. Now, if they lose to the Buccaneers on Sunday, that probably goes right out the window. But they know they're healthier. They're coming off a win over the Vikings. They feel good about that. There's confidence inside that locker room for the first time in a while.
And it's who they're getting back. Two Pro Bowl guards. Your starting quarterback, his thumb is finally healed up. And you got your best. Look, I know Pernell McPhee, he may not be the best outside linebacker the Bears have right now. I think it's Willie Young because he's been consistently productive. He's healthier than a Pernell McPhee. But he's your best leader on that defense. He is their voice. He is that pissed off person, as he says, that they need to have right now.
Pissed off.
Yeah, he's bringing that anger, that edge. And, we've seen it in two games. He is so emotional out there. Yes, he's only out there for 25 snaps. But you could see him try to pump up his teammates. You could see him speaking and yelling at them. That means something. That really does.
All right, so it's crazy to think this team is going to win out.
Yes.
But let's look at the second half of the schedule and see what's realistic. At Tampa on Sunday, which we'll break down in a minute, but it's a winnable game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game the Bears could definitely win. That's their last road win, actually, at Tampa last December. Okay. At New York.
I think that's their toughest game at New York.
The toughest game left on the schedule?
At least for the most recent stretch, because I think things can change over the final eight weeks here. But in the immediate future, if you're looking at the next four games, if you're going to look at it in quarters, that's the toughest game.
Let's say realistically they go 1-1 the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
Okay, I think that's fair. Two back-to-back road games. Here's what the rest of your schedule looks like. You have 6 weeks left.
Mm-hmm.
Four of those games are at home. They've been better at home this year. At least that's where they have their two wins. And they should have beaten Jacksonville, too. Tennessee at home.
Beatable.
You not only beatable, that's a game you should win.
Yes.
San Francisco.
Should blow them
at
out.
At home. San Francisco's worse than the Bears are.
Yeah. Considerably worse than the Bears.
Yes.
Significantly.
Yeah.
Garbage team.
Should be a win. Okay, that's 3-1 since the bye week then.
Mm-hmm.
In the next quarter of your schedule, you go 3-1. Then you go to Detroit.
It's a tough place to play.
Which
for
all of a sudden looks like the best team in the division, at least in the last month.
Yeah, but they're not like a world beater.
No, they're not. I think it's pretty obvious the NFC North isn't that great.
No, very average, maybe below average.
They should have won at Detroit last year.
Yes.
That's what the one game I look back and say John Fox blew it with his clock management, not using his timeouts at the end of regulation when he should have. Definitely should have won that game last year, but it's a different year, different team. Winnable game against the Lions, a team you already beat this year. I'm going to say they probably lose it, though. Okay? You get Green Bay at home. I think if you look at that game a couple weeks ago at Lambeau, if Jay Cutler plays, they're at least in it.
Oh, they were in it. I mean, even with Matt Barkley for a little stretch. It was, what, 6-3 at halftime, right?
Yeah, they may have won the game, though, is my point.
Yes.
I don't know that you could definitely say that. Like, I definitely think they would have beaten the Colts and the Jaguars had Cutler play.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know if I say that about the Packers, but the point there is that it's a winnable game at home. In fact, at this point, we'll see what the Packers look like a month from now.
There's a lot of turmoil up in Green Bay, man.
But if they were playing this weekend at Soldier Field, I would say that's a game you should win.
Okay.
So, again, we'll see what it looks like. That's December 18th, so plenty of time until that game gets played. Then you get Washington at home.
Not a bad team.
Not a bad team. That's on Christmas Eve. They could be playing for a playoff berth. And then you close at Minnesota, which is tough. But who knows? They might not even be playing their starters that week. If they can turn things around, they might have this division wrapped up by then.
I have the Bears going 5-3 for the final eight games. So that would get them to what? How good is my math? 7-9?
I'm going to say they go 3-1, and then the last four games, they go 2-2.
So 5-3.
Wow. Yeah.
It's not hard to conceive, and if...
They got to stay healthy, though, now that they got those guys back.
Yeah, of course,
we've seen,
of course, though.
This season is actually, well, here's the thing. We both were kind of middle of the road. This was going to be around 500 team. Mm-hmm. 2-6 doesn't really coincide with that. However, I think the season has actually gone the way we thought, because at least my contention was, if they have an unbelievable year of health, they could even go 10-6. If they have devastating injuries, which they did in the first half,
yeah,
they could be a 3-win team. That's what I said. And they're kind of on that, well on their way to going 3-13 until Cutler comes back against the Vikings. They get an inspired effort. Now all these guys are coming back. So, you know, this is 5-3, 7, that gets you to 7-9, like you said. That's middle of the road. That's kind of what we expected.
Very lovey-like, right? Typical 7-9, 8-8 team.
That's,
you know,
Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher-like, looking very respectable towards the end. If they go 7-9, you just look back at that Colts game and that Jaguars game, right? Two games, even with Brian Hoyer at quarterback, that they should have won.
Yeah.
Especially that Jaguars game.
Especially the Jaguars at home.
You can blame coaching. You can blame bad luck, especially how the Jaguars game kind of ended. But left a lot out there in those two games and those kind of sting. And I get everything in retrospect. You're going to find things that sting. But right now, you look at that in the first half of the season. Those were two games the Bears had in their grasp. Those were victories. And they blew it.
Maybe we should throw a Twitter poll out there for our listeners, what you think the Bears are going to do in the second half of the season. We'll do that after we record here. I'm curious kind of where the fans are, because there's been so much negativity.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot of skepticism, fairly, when they hear Eddie Royal go, why not win out?
Right.
So I'm curious to see if fans agree with us. I think 4-4, though, and possibly 5-3. Very realistic when you look at the schedule here going forward. All right, let's move to Sunday. Game at Tampa Bay. Buccaneers are 3-5. I think they're in a similar boat as the Bears. They believe they're better than the record shows. They feel like this is a win they have to have at home. But I think the Bears definitely feel the same way and feel like this is a game they should win. So what are your two big questions going into this football game?
What will Jay Cutler do for, well, an encore? Mm-hmm. Second game back from injury. He was rusty at first against the Vikings. A couple near interceptions. I know that's very Cutler-like, Cutler-esque. That's what happens. That's what he does. But that happens in every single football game. There's close plays, right? What does he do with the time off? How much healthier is he? How much better is he? Where's his rapport with Dow Loggins at? I thought you could clearly tell they had a connection in the Vikings game. Where is that against the Buccaneers on the road in a winnable football game? I think he's going to play well. I think the whole second half of the season, he's going to play exceptional. Yes, you're going to have a lot of Cutler-like head scratching, mind numbing plays where he turns the ball over.
Well, let's not forget he got away with some throws against the Vikings.
Well, yeah, I get that, but that's what happens, and that's also a very good Vikings team. It's also his first game back from injury. That's throwing to a Josh Bellamy who cut off his route, and Xavier Rhodes is there, right? Xavier Rhodes, pretty darn good cornerback, right? So you have to give the other side a little bit credit too. I mean, Xavier Rhodes nearly jumped a route by Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey and Jay Cutler haven't played in a while. Now, I don't mean to sound like I'm giving Jay Cutler excuses, but like I said, I expect them to be pretty darn good over the second half of this season.
All right, my first question is, how does this O-line look, and what does it play like? Very, very good effort against the Vikings. I still look back at that game, and I cannot believe they pushed around the Vikings front seven with Eric Kush and Ted Larson in there. No, I mean, no disrespect to them, but those are two backups that came in, and, you know, not a whole lot of playing time this year, and went up against the number one defense, and, I mean, they dominated them. It was crazy. Now you get your two Pro Bowl guards back. I mean, Kyle Long's still not 100%. He's not going to be 100% the whole year. But he's feeling better. We talked to him the other day, and he's much better than he was before the bye week, when I think the Bears just made a decision that we got to shut this guy down for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And sitting, he should be back and okay. So theoretically, this line should be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they give Jay Cutler time to throw the football, and they open up the running lanes for the running backs, which, you know, Lankford should be healthier. I think Howard's still.
Howard's number one
guy, but you got Lankford, who was kind of limited in the last game, but he's back. The point there being is that your three, you know, your kind of three-headed running attack should be there. All should go pretty well on offense, mm-hmm, if the offensive line plays well, and it should with Sitton and Long getting back.
Can we give Dal Loggins a little credit?
Sure.
For what he did against the Vikings defense? That was an exceptionally called game. He kept them off balance. He had Cutler on the move. He had – I just look at the goal line touchdown run for Jordan Howard, his first touchdown run, I actually think, this year. He brings in Mitch Unrein for the first time this season at fullback. History says the Bears are going to power it right at you. What do they do? Pitch right. Unrein's leading the way.
They could have handed the ball to Unrein, and he would have been in.
Yeah, yeah.
There was nobody there for the Vikings.
Completely caught off guard, right? So he kept that defense, a very good, talented, experienced, productive defense, on tilt. Great game by Dal Loggins.
And I'll say this, and this isn't a knock. It's so much easier to call plays when your offensive line blocks.
Yes.
When your offensive line plays horrible, you look like a dumb play caller. When the offensive line plays well and blocks everybody, you look like a genius, because almost everything works.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the two go hand in hand. All right, your second question.
Look, Jameis Winston, he's been better lately. He has been. The numbers are kind of skewed, and you know things. So one bad game can completely mess up where your numbers look, right? I want to see this pass rush continue to do what they did against the Vikings. And I know the Buccaneers aren't a great team. I know Jameis Winston's been thrown around a little bit. But that Vikings offensive line is horrendous. It's awful. I don't know if this is so much a question as a statement. I want to see the defensive front. Akeem Hicks, Leonard Floyd, a healthier Pernell McPhee, Willie Young. What do they do for their encore? How do they repeat what they did against the Vikings and held into the context that the Vikings, that's a pretty piss poor offensive line.
Yeah, it is. It is. No, so they gotta step it up this week. And I mean, my second big question is Eddie Goldman. I mean, does he come back, first of all? That's the first part of the question. Vic Fangio yesterday, who's usually pretty candid with us, I mean, basically said it's up to practice. I mean, and he's limited so far. But if he looks like he can do it in practice, he should be able to do it in a game. If he can't do it in practice, then he can't do it in a game, obviously. That's kind of what Vic Fangio said to us. If he plays, though, big boost to the defensive line.
Yep.
The Bucs could be getting Doug Martin back, but Eddie Goldman completely changes the Bears' run defense if he's in there clocking up the middle. So that's a huge question in this game, and if he plays, I think that's another thing that tilts in the Bears' favor.
What did he say, Fangio? That he's not 100%, and it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Well, that's it's going to take time. I mean, he's missed, what, 6 weeks? A little bit more than that? Week 2 he last played.
Yeah, he's missed 6 games.
Yeah. So this is a guy that the Bears view as having Pro Bowl potential. Look, I don't know if we were seeing that much of it early on in the season. He does have to do a lot of the dirty work in those trenches. He does have to eat up 2 gaps and things like that. But I like the kid's demeanor. I like his promise. And you know what? Will Sutton has been all right filling in.
Yeah,
great?
He is.
No? All right. He's been all right. Cornelius Washington, he's added a boost in some respect to that defensive line rotation as well. You know, the defensive front, however they want to use him. So I think they deserve some credit. But Eddie Goldman, even if he just comes back for 25 snaps like a Pernell McPhee play count, it's an immediate boost. Significant boost, I think.
All right. Let's get to our bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
If you remember last year, this game in Tampa, it was the John Timu, Harold Jones Quartet show.
Okay.
This Bears defense, which had not been forcing takeaways all season, went into Tampa and grabbed 3. They forced 2 fumbles on Doug Martin, and HJQ got an interception. An impressive interception along the sideline. And he batted away, I want to say, like at least 2 more balls that he maybe could have gotten his hands on. So my bold prediction this week is that the Bears go back down to Tampa and get 3 takeaways.
3. You know what? I was thinking the same. I like that. You know, because Jameis Winston has been prone.
You know, I'm not a huge Jameis Winston fan.
I know.
I had Mariota rated higher. I like how he's safer with the ball. Winston has moments, like, you know, Cutler moments.
Yes.
It's just like,
yes,
what are you doing?
I'll one-up you.
He'll throw you the ball.
I'll one-up your bold prediction. Because I was thinking I was thinking along the same lines. A pick 6.
Oh.
By a safety. Tracy Porter can make plays. Bryce Callahan can make plays. We've seen it in glimpses. Neither of them can stay 100% healthy, especially Callahan. But those safeties, they've been healthy. Adrian Amos has been healthy. He's making some hard hits. He's filling the holes quite well in his run defense. It's time for them to make an impact play. So one of them, pick 6.
Wow. Okay. That is big. When's the last time we saw a pick 6?
Last defensive touchdown was Leonard Floyd. But when's the last pick 6?
Pernell McPhee had one. He didn't return that for a touchdown last year.
No.
Didn't
no.
Remember when he had that interception? It was at home. I want to say it was like Tim Jennings early in.
Tim, we're going back to Tim, your guy Tim Jennings.
I know. In 2013 or 2014. Wow. I have to look that up. It's been a while, though.
Yeah, it's a stat.
That's been a while. Mm-hmm. So that would be very, very bold.
Predictions.
All right, I'm picking the Bears, and as 10, I mean, I'm sure everyone is. This is how it goes. I mean, the Bears win, everyone picks them.
Well, they're also playing a team that's very beatable.
Yeah, well, I know.
And they're not going into Foxborough. They're not going into Denver. They're not going into Seattle.
They get the bye, too. I just like how this sets up for them. I do. And I'm going to here's the other thing. I think the offense opens up a little bit this week. You know, what was the final score against the Vikings? 20 points, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Against a good defense. I think they're going to finish drives more with Cutler in there as a quarterback. And this Tampa defense is not very good. I mean, 43 points given up to Atlanta.
Well, Atlanta's kind of
30.
They're full of fireworks.
Yeah,
the Falcons
30
are.
To the Raiders.
Raiders are good too.
They are, but I think this Bears offense is gonna take a step forward. I think the Bears score some points in this game. I don't know if they quite get to 30, but I'm gonna say 28.
40 TDs, huh?
28 to 20.
I think the score I had into today's Pro Football Weekly insert. God, what was it? 24-17, 23-17. I like them winning more than what they're giving up a point and a half, right? How about that? They're favored on the road, by the way.
I have the Bucks at 1.5 favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw the Bears were maybe it did swing.
When did you see that? Because this was as of yesterday. I had Bucks.
I saw it a couple days ago.
1.5 So maybe it's bouncing back and forth.
But Chicago money playing into it. I like the Bears winning by a double digit scores. They're not going to blow them out. John Fox teams don't really blow out other teams, you know. 23-17, 23-16 maybe I said. Something like that.
It's down to a point now. So that's what we'll use in our prediction, what we'll go with against the spread. Buccaneers favored by 1 point right now at home. So that's what we got. All right, so we're both going with the Bears. And let's see what our listeners think here.
Well, this is going to be handedly Bears for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it almost was against the Vikings. Let's see here. Bears.
Let me guess. 85% Bears.
You're pretty close. 89.
Wow.
89% Bears right now over the Buccaneers. So I get it. I get it. Those are our listeners. They love their Bears. And we're picking them too. To definitely cover the one anyway.
Straight up.
You're
just picking
going double
up.
Digits.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. All right, let's move on to our favorite segment. What does the Fox say?
You know, they have good, you know, good, you know, ball radius. What the Fox say?
I think you meant say catch radius.
Yeah. I understood it.
Yeah.
The innuendo there is kind of, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to have a good ball radius.
I think we got exceptional ball radius, but. he was talking? He was talking about Alshon Jeffrey and Mike Evans, right? In terms of just being big receivers and what they could do with their size, right?
And their ball radius.
And their ball radius. They got great ball radius.
Yeah.
You should go up to, hey, Alshon. Coach Fox says you have great ball radius. Any comment?
your thoughts. Your thoughts on your ball radius. That wouldn't be awkward at all. All right, let's get to our picks around the NFL here as we move into week 10 already. That is crazy to think about that we're in week 10. The Vikings go on the road to Washington. Washington a 3-point favorite at home. This is a noon game Sunday on Fox. The Vikings, of course, on a 3-game losing streak. They've swapped out offensive coordinators as North Turner. That's something that happened during the bye week after they lost to the Bears.
Yeah.
North Turner stepped down very, very surprisingly. They turned it over to Pat Shurmur, who's worked with Sam Bradford a lot. By the way, side note on that, that is another indication to me that Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be ready next year.
Right. Well, he completely, I mean, his knee blew up.
That's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's just as a football fan, you don't want to see that.
Young guy, had some promise. Look, was I the biggest Teddy Bridgewater fan? No, but yes. You don't want to see a 23, 24-year-old kid with his NFL dreams ahead of him have his knee completely blown to shreds. It's unfortunate. Anyway, I'm picking those Vikings.
You are. Interesting. The Redskins are coming off a tie at Cincinnati, and then they lost to Detroit the week before. So after winning four straight games, they've been struggling the last couple weeks. They had a bye. They're coming off their bye week, and they get Minnesota, this struggling Minnesota team at home. I'm going to go with Washington. I guess with the bye week.
Kirk Cousins magic.
And this really, I don't know that. Here's what's almost more concerning to me about Minnesota.
Their tackling of Golden Tate in the final overtime.
Their defense has been slipping a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, that happens when your offense doesn't help you out very much.
Right, we know that very well in Chicago.
But still, I look at that Bears game and I'm going, how did they push you around like that? That's just crazy. All right. All three NFC North teams playing this week are playing up against each other at noon on Fox. So you're going to need a Sunday ticket if you want to pay attention to what's going on with the Vikings and the Packers. The Packers are at Tennessee. They face the Titans, and the Packers are a 2.5-point road favorite despite having their own struggles the last couple weeks. Who do you like here?
Hit that button.
You better lock it up.
No,
you
no, no,
up.
No.
You lock it up. You lock it up.
Are we still doing upsets?
Yeah, but we don't have
an upset button. It's been a while.
We don't have an upset button.
The bye week messed up my mind.
Nope, you just locked up the Titans. That's what you did.
I did just lock up the Titans. Fine. You know what? Fine. I will.
You don't have to.
I'll just do it. You know what? I don't think the Titans are a great team. I think there's something to this turmoil, though, up in Green Bay. A lot of weird messages coming from Rodgers, from McCarthy, from their offensive coordinator. It's just...
They're freaking out up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
They really are. You know, and I think they thought all was well after they beat the Bears. But
they beat Matt Barkley.
Matt Barkley. And otherwise, they're on a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah.
You know, if you I guess you can't just say that's a loss if Matt Barkley didn't play, but they still lost 3 out of the last 4. They were not very competitive against the Cowboys the week before that. Then they lose to Atlanta. I actually thought they played okay in that game against the Falcons.
Yeah.
The way they...
What about the Colts game? We've seen
the
Colts.
That was bad.
The Colts are not a very good football team.
That was bad.
I mean, the Bears should have beaten the Colts in Indianapolis. So, give me the party atmosphere down in Nashville. Give me the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I'm going to say, though, that the Packers still... Especially with them getting points here, I'm going to go with the Packers. The Titans, I mean, their last two wins are...
No, the Titans are getting a 2.5.
Did I type that in there wrong? Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. I said that wrong. The Titans are getting a 2.5. You're absolutely right. Yeah, the Packers are not road underdogs here in Tennessee. But I'm still going to go with the Packers. I think they can win this thing by a field goal. Look at the last three wins for... Tennessee, Jacksonville, which they won convincingly, but come on. Cleveland, which they barely won at home. They barely beat the Browns at home. And Miami, okay? I mean, their most impressive win this year is going on the road to Miami or going on the road to Detroit. Either one. But I think the Packers, with everything that's going on, maybe actually getting away from home here helps them. In this game, and I'm gonna pick the Packers. All right, Cowboys at the Steelers. A big game this week.
Mm-hmm. Best game, maybe.
It might. There's some. The next one we're talking about on Sunday night's pretty good too.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys, boy, they're rolling. I mean, they look like a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Really, with Dak Prescott?
Well, here's the interesting thing. I mean, it certainly sounds like Tony Romo is pretty close to healthy.
Yeah. I heard the reports are that it's a coach's decision now.
And how do you not play Dak Prescott?
That's the thing. Jason Garrett cannot walk into that locker room. Look, they love Tony Romo. A lot of those guys love Tony Romo. But you're 7-1. This kid's playing exceptional. He's not playing awful. He's not turning the ball over 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah,
he's good. He's played well. Now, I think there will come a time where things kind of balance out. This is almost too good to be true, right? Great offensive line, good young running back, good weapons for him on the outside. There has to come a time where he looks like a rookie, right?
But we're halfway through this thing. I mean, I would have thought...
There's still plenty of season left.
I know, but I would have thought the adjustment period would already come.
Yeah.
I mean... He goes on the road to Green Bay the way he does, and they just dominated that game. I mean, we already knew the Cowboys were better than what happened last year with the injuries. And then they add Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott. I mean, that two skill position players to that offense. It's no wonder they're this good. Now, the Steelers have lost 3 games in a row.
So, I think they're still a pretty good football team. The Big Ben injury... kind of mucks things up.
It does. It does, no doubt about it. But to lose at Baltimore last week.
Big Ben's first game back. Clearly not himself. Baltimore's defense isn't bad.
But aren't you surprised they're favored?
Oh, the Steelers?
The Steelers are favored by 2.5 points in this game.
Well, I think people think they're a good, maybe the odds makers think they're a pretty good football team. I don't know what they are.
I think they are, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
I'm going Steelers.
You are?
Sorry, I jumped the gun on you there, but I'm going Steelers.
I'm
going
to go with the Cowboys.
Okay.
So we're going opposite here. I just like them getting points here, I guess. I mean, This is one. The Steelers are probably going to win. I'm going Cowboys. All right, Seahawks on the road at New England. This is a good game. Sunday night at... Oh, by the way, the Cowboys-Steelers game is a 325 game Sunday on Fox. So you should be able to see that one pretty much wherever you are. And then, of course, Sunday night game, 7:30 on NBC. Seahawks at the Patriots. This is one of the ones we asked our listeners to pick for us. If I can find it, here it is. The Seahawks, everyone's going Patriots here. The Patriots is a 7.5-point favorite at home. 70% of our listeners going with the Pats over a touchdown favorite at home against the Seahawks.
I don't know how you feel about the Seahawks, but I feel like they've taken, I don't know if a step back is the right way to put it, but they're not what they were maybe the previous few seasons. Their running game isn't the same. Their offensive line is meh. Russell Wilson's been... He can be better. Their defense is still pretty formidable. But Russell Wilson could be better. That offense could be better. I know they've had injuries in the backfield. I think Thomas Rawls is coming back soon. But something is not clicking the way many expected it would in Seattle.
Yeah, and the Patriots are... I mean, they're pretty darn good.
They're a machine.
I mean, they're really rolling. They got through the Brady suspension almost clean. The only game they lose was that Jacoby Brissett nightmare in Buffalo.
Where he has no hand.
They didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And they scored 0 points. And then they've come back, and they have beaten every single one of their opponents since that game by at least 10 points.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, by at least 11 points. I mean, they have won all these games by double digits. They have a bye week. They're rolling here.
Yeah.
They're going to be healthy. So I, not only do I like the Patriots to cover the 7.5, but I'm going to do this.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I assume you're going Patriots, too?
I am going Patriots, but wow. 7.5 is still a lot of points.
It is.
And I know I just, you know, kick the beaten dog that the Seahawks are right now, but, you know, they're... Again, Russell Wilson could be better. Maybe he's better in this game. Maybe he rises to the moment like he has in games such as this. And again, the Seattle defense still has a lot of those big plague-making names. So, I don't know. 7.5 is a lot. Again, but the Patriots, again, this is why I'm going with them. They're a machine right now. And when they're on these revenge tours, right, it's so hard to pick against them because they want to make a statement every single game. Their starting quarterback who suspended 4 games to start the year for Deflategate. Tom Brady's still going to have numbers that rank amongst the top 3 quarterbacks in the league. That's what they're going to do this year.
Plus, I mean, Bill Belichick proved this week he can do anything. He got Donald Trump elected. I mean, so good for him. Good for him. All right, the Bengals at the Giants on Monday Night Football. This is your matchup. Interesting because this is the Bears' next opponent. So you certainly want to keep an eye on it. Monday night, that gives the Giants one less day to prepare for the Bears, but they will have back-to-back home games here, so it's not like they got to travel. So it's Cincinnati, the Giants, Monday Night Football, 7:30 on ESPN. The Giants, a 2.5-point favorite at home over the Bengals. Giants have been...
They've been all right.
They've been good.
You know? Did you see some of those Odell Beckham touchdowns last week? I don't know how he got so wide open.
3-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how he gets that open either.
Yeah. I always feel the Giants, like I know they've had the coaching change and all that. They've always... With Eli Manning, they've been so erratic.
Well, here's the thing. They're the only team that's beaten Dallas this year.
Yeah.
They go on the road, beat Dallas week one.
Yes. It's still week one, right?
It's week one, but then they have a 3-game losing streak. They lose a game they should have won against Washington at home in week three. Okay, at Minnesota, at Green Bay, back-to-back losses. Remember, who is it? We talked about this on the podcast. Someone was complaining about the schedule, how they had to go
coast to coast or something like that.
Minnesota and Green Bay, I mean, it's like, yeah. come on. On back-to-back, I think those were both primetime games, if I remember right. And they lose both of them, but then they come back and they've won three straight. They beat the Ravens. They go all the way to Los Angeles and win. They get the bye week. They beat Philly. But you're right. They're erratic because they're the only team that's beaten Dallas. They've won three in a row now. They also lost three in a row at one point.
Well, I feel so like they've always been that way with, for whatever reason. They've had very good defensive lines, and they've been completely erratic, right? Even dating back to their Super Bowl victories, right? 9-7 team that goes to the Super Bowl and wins and beats a undefeated Patriots team. That's the pinnacle. And then they're so up and down. So, look, I think, again, the Giants are the toughest team in the next quarter of the season for the Bears. The Bengals, I'm kind of torn on what exactly they are.
They've had a really tough schedule so far this season.
The Bengals?
Yeah, I mean, you always have to play the Steelers. They're in that division, but they're on the road at Pittsburgh. They played Denver. Miami was one of their wins. They had to go on the road to Dallas, on the road to New England, and back-to-back weeks. I mean, those are losses that you kind of expect.
Mm-hmm.
They come back and they beat Cleveland. Then that tie against Washington was just like, that's where you're like, I don't really know what to make of this team. With how erratic the Giants are, the Bengals coming off their bye. They're underdogs here, so they're getting points. I'm going to go with the Bengals.
I'm going to go with the Giants.
All right.
Number one, I got to play catch up on you.
Yeah.
And number two, the gut feeling here is, you know, they got these back-to-back home games. Bengals, Bears, they're going to lose one of those.
So you think they're going to win this one,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to...
Just a good
so you're already picking the Giants next week against the Bears.
No, I'm thinking someone else. You're saying the Giants are
going to win this week and lose next week.
Just a gut feeling.
Gotcha. Well, this is a big week for us because we just disagreed on four of our six games, including the Bears game. And
this is where we make your comeback, kids.
Either you're going to make a comeback or I am going to pull away,
mm-hmm.
probably for good, if you really think about it. If I'm doing the math correctly.
I was a math major. I wasn't, actually, but...
Well, we'll just keep picking against you. We'll just completely go against what you're going to make that comeback later in the year.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our college games. We're only going to do three this week. College slate, not as good. We're going to stay in the Big Ten this week. As we always do, we'll pick our local teams. Northwestern at Purdue.
Purdue.
At Purdue. I will be there on Saturday. I am expecting there to be roughly 9 people in the crowd.
I thought you were going to at least say 19,000.
I mean, come on. No one goes to Purdue games anyway.
No one goes to Northwestern games.
And, well, they had a good crowd last week.
Did
they? They did. But.
I'm thinking about bringing the fam out there soon. Maybe not this year, obviously, because it's getting late in the year, but next year. Maybe one or two games.
Well, there's only one game left, the Illinois game at home. You can come out.
That should be packed, though, right? They're two young kids. They don't need to see that lovely, lovely mess.
Yeah, I don't know if I would expose them to that. This is just, I've been to games at Purdue. It doesn't matter if they're playing Ohio State or Wisconsin or Nebraska or Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd is just sleepy. There's not many people there. It's a weird atmosphere. It seems like it's always like gloomy and I've never been to a game there where like the weather is just like
you're painting this picture of West Lafayette where it's just miserable.
Not a fan.
Okay.
Not a fan. All right. But I'll be there. Northwestern will be there as well. The Cats are a 13.5 point favorite on the road at Purdue. You know, here's the thing about Northwestern. They've lost back to back games now. They've been pretty darn competitive though since they lost to Illinois State earlier in the year. They've been a pretty good football team, and they have 3 winnable games left. If they win those 3 games, which they probably should, they're going to be 6-3 in the Big Ten, which is pretty good, mm-hmm. considering not only the start they had to the season, but also The West Division's all playing 5 road games this year in this new 9-game schedule. Uh-huh. So that's pretty good. And the point I was getting to there is they've been a really good road team the last couple of years. And Purdue's not a good team at all.
Can they cover 13.5, still 13.5.
Yeah. I think so.
So do I.
I think that they come out firing in this game. Purdue's been a pretty good first half team since they changed head coaches. But I'm gonna go with Northwestern here.
Okay. Me too.
All right. So we agree on the Cats. Your favorite team, the Fighting Lovie Smiths, on the road at number 7, Wisconsin.
We were just talking about this in our pregame.
our pregame off the air.
Yes.
Yeah.
26.5 points. It's a lot. Look, Wisconsin's very good. Very good team. Very good defensively. They don't put up a lot of points. What are they? Do they even average 26.5 points?
I believe they've only been over 26 points twice this season.
Okay, so
let me just confirm that. They scored 54 against Akron, and they scored 30 against Michigan State,
who is garbage this year.
That's it.
So
they have not. They've not scored 26 points very often, at just to score 26.
Yeah,
now, Illinois is going to have a hard time to score at all in this game.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the spread is where it is.
20 is. Maybe they win 24-0, which could be very. I would say even it's expected, maybe. You know, maybe 24-7, something like that. I don't think Illinois is going to make this a game whatsoever. Maybe it's possibly a no-score game after one. Wisconsin's going to pull away at some point, but I'm really going to say this. I'm going to take Lovie Smith and the Fighting Illini getting nearly 27 points.
I was leaning that way, but here's the thing. I've seen so many games at Wisconsin. Here's the thing about Wisconsin. They always have, like, good years with win 10 games, and then you look back and there's like the one game, there at least one game where you're like, man, if they'd only won that game.
Okay.
You know, and I think that's going to be the Ohio State game when they go back and look at it and go, man, they should have won that game. They had a one, it went in overtime, it should never been in overtime, they should have won the game. When they have these games at home against bad football teams, they score a lot. They usually blow them out of the water. It's a little bit different with this offense. They don't really have the great quarterback. But, like, to me, Illinois is like an Akron territory. and they put up 56 against Akron.
Yeah.
Or 54 against Akron early in the year. Now, you could also say they only scored 23 against Georgia State.
Yeah.
We're kind of, like, talking this one out because it's really hard to pick this one with 26.5.
From a long-term perspective, say that happens, right? That Wisconsin completely destroys and puts together a 48-0 victory. This is kind of a huge recruiting game. Wisconsin's kind of a big player every other year in the state of Illinois, right? They come in, they get a couple kids, you know, one's a lineman, you know, the running back who's going to be there next year is from my high school, Chris James, right?
Yeah.
They're a player in the Midwest. They're a player in the Chicagoland area. Lovie Smith is so far behind the recruiting game, getting blown out by Wisconsin, 54-0, 48-0. That registers in kids' heads. You know, that Ricky Smalling, that receiver they got at Brother Rice who committed, which is probably Lovie Smith's biggest commit thus far in the Chicagoland area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll see that, and once signing day comes about, when everybody's pressuring him to switch commitments, you know, what's going to happen? Pretty big game here. Long-term impacts, I mean.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, because Wisconsin does go into Illinois and usually pick out a tight end, an offensive lineman.
Yep.
And they end up being pretty good players. Oh, my God, this one's tough. Illinois only lost by 26, I think, twice this year. They got blown out at Michigan, which is certainly understandable.
That's what they do.
Actually, that's the only time, because their other big loss was to North Carolina at home, and it was only 25 points. I'm gonna go with Illinois here. I'm gonna go with Illinois. I think I talked myself out of it because the quarterback play for Wisconsin is just not that impressive.
No,
and in some respects, Wisconsin's almost ready for a letdown. They've had a really hard schedule, and
I don't think this is gonna be a letdown. You almost see a tight game.
Letdown performance.
Okay. Well, they still, yeah, they're going to play down to the competition.
They'll win,
yeah,
by double digits, yeah. But yeah, I think they might play down.
I think the letdown you're going to see is the zero score in the first quarter until Wisconsin quickly has a 21-point lead, and you start looking at that spread closely.
Yeah, basically, what happened there is I came into the show thinking I was picking Illinois. That's how I've thought all week, and then right there, as I was thinking about it, I almost went Wisconsin.
That was your heart talking.
Yeah,
too.
Probably.
That was your heart.
I changed it, Illinois. Logically, the head, the brain, going with the Illini, which is a scary thought, actually, when you say it that way. All right, final game of the week. This is a primetime game on ABC. There's just not a lot of huge games this weekend. There's USC's playing Washington, and LSU's is playing Arkansas. Otherwise, yeah. Like Michigan at Iowa is your primetime game on ABC on Saturday night, 7 o'clock. Another big spread. The number 3 Wolverines at Iowa. The Hawkeyes, a 21.5-point underdog at home.
I like Michigan. I like Michigan a lot.
They've been blowing teams out.
Yes. At this point, when's the Ohio State game? What, three weeks away?
It would be 2 weeks away.
And then they got the Big Ten championship.
If they win that game, yeah.
Yes, yes. The Wolverines are thinking like Alabama is thinking right now. They're blowing teams out.
Yeah.
They're number 2 in the rankings. They're thinking title. Are they good enough? Are they as good as Alabama? I don't know if they have the amount of pro talent, but Jim Harbaugh has quickly done something with a roster that did have some talent. They're thinking title. I mean, they're going to handle Iowa. To me, now it's all about national title implications for Michigan.
I'm going to pick the Hawkeyes here. It's a huge spread, and Iowa's at home, which is it's not an easy place to play at Kinnick. It's a different atmosphere at night, specifically. It's pretty intimidating, to be honest with you. I think Michigan is far and away the better football team here, but... look, they went on the road at Michigan State a couple weeks ago, and that was a tight game. I mean, that's a rivalry game, so you kind of throw the records out a little bit. But I also think you sort of do that in this game against Iowa, which is a decent team at home under the lights. I still think Michigan wins, but I think Iowa makes this a close game. And we're also in November. Weird things happen in college football in November.
Oh, when like national title dreams.
Upsets just start to happen.
Are blown. I know what you're saying.
So
there's always one of those. You're not picking Iowa to outright win.
No. Okay. But 21.5 is way too much for me to take Michigan when they're going on the road in this atmosphere in November.
Okay.
So... I'm going to pick the Hawkeyes, but I could also certainly see Michigan blowing them out there.
Get that centipede formation. What do they call it? The centipede formation out there. And
love the centipede.
Doing what they do.
All right. Well, those are our picks for the week. Let's see. We disagreed on one college game, but 4 out of our 6 NFL games.
Well, the pride comes in the NFL games. It's where it counts. The college games are for fun. Pride matters with the NFL.
Yeah. Also, hang on. I almost forgot our listener selections for college. Illinois. Look at this. Split 50-50. Illinois and Wisconsin with that 26.5-point spread.
Wow.
That doesn't surprise me.
A lot of Illini fans listening, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's 218 votes here. So, I mean, it's a decent sample size, too. In the poll, and it's split 50-50 right now. So we'll go with whatever it looks like on Saturday when that game kicks off. Remember, listeners 2-10. Step it up. This is ridiculous. You can do better than that. I think so. All right, that's going to do it for us this week on Intentional Grounding, episode 62. We appreciate you listening, as always. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and follow the podcast, at INT Grounding Pod. If you haven't voted on this week's games, you can still do so there. And if you're not following, go follow. It's that easy. It's Twitter. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. Thank you for leaving a review there and rating the podcast. Any final thoughts?
Of course. Stay hard, folks.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
That's right. That's what we do here on Intentional Grounding and our big ball radiuses.
I like that one. All right. Ball radius is very important for everybody.
That's right. And shout out to Mark Bortz in Partyville, Wisconsin again. Great place, Partyville.
Partyville, ball radius, and staying hard.
We'll be back Sunday in Florida with our post-game episode. Talk to you then.